I told him after this morning, it wasn't just the subject matter. I mean, he was preaching about the shepherd and this and that. I mean, that's kind of like your church treasury, whoever and whenever tithes is preached on, that's a good message. So it wasn't that. It wasn't that, you know, the subject matter. I told him that was just tremendous preaching this morning, the Word of God. And I know that's on his heart again tonight to share with us the Word of God. So let's give him our hearts and our ears tonight. We're going to hear from heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come, my brother.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You love the Lord tonight. Amen. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. And my, hasn't God been good to us all throughout this day? He's just brought us together. He's just given us a beautiful day in the Lord. He really has. It's just a wonderful time of fellowship, a time where we could sit and eat together and laugh together. You know, when you can laugh together and cry together and dream together. You know what it does? It brings you together. When it's all said and done, doesn't it just really get back to loving God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and loving your neighbor as yourself? I mean, boy, we really make this thing complicated, but in God's eyes, it kind of gets a little simpler than that. We just love God with everything within you and love your neighbor as yourself. Walk as he would walk. And I tell you, I appreciate you so much, church. This is a very special church to me. There have been times, and you're probably not aware of this, most of you, but there have been times that I've called your pastor and just said, I just need a place. I need a place to pray tonight. And very graciously, your pastor has opened up this church to me when I've just felt like I just needed to shut myself in with God to pray and seek God. And I can tell you the specific places and specific points where the Lord touched me right over there. God touched me right over here. You say, well, Brother Estes, good night. You're a preacher. You got to get alone with God and pray like that? Yes. Yes. But I'm thankful for a church that believes in prayer. I appreciate a pastor that emphasizes prayer. I appreciate those that came to the prayer meeting tonight. I appreciate those. We got a word that I believe it was a Saturday, when the prayer meeting earlier this week, Saturday night prayer meeting, very well attended. You know, I mean, we don't base our theology off some, you know, Frank Peretti novel or anything like that. But there is a spiritual battle that takes place. And there are principalities and there's rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness that comes against every single service. It comes against your mind. And if you're not careful, you'll allow things to distract you rather than letting God's word touch you. Right over here, a guy in the white shirt. See? Church, God wants to help us. God wants to touch us. We need to say, Lord, let me press in with prayer. Let me commune with God. Let me speak to God. And he will answer prayer. Amen. Now, I've asked my wife to sing tonight. I appreciate Erica so very much. I believe you do too. I just got a feeling, you know, it's just spirit of discernment up here. You know what I'm saying? No. I appreciate her so much. Appreciate the job she does with our four little girls. Wow, babe, four girls. You know, I was looking at these young people over here, and Zach preached his first message the other night, thank God. Wow. I mean, you know, they're supposed to be about 4 and 5, and I'm getting a few years on me as well. Wow, we're all getting older, aren't we? Hallelujah. But the Lord's blessed us, and I appreciate the memories that I have right here. Just worship the Lord tonight with Erica as she sings.
I'll have to pray for me. I've told a couple people, my parents and a couple people, that the last, 6 months to a year, every time I get up to sing, my throat goes out and I have to choke it out and stop and make everyone suffer. So just pray for me and I'll pray for you. No, I did want to take a little opportunity here to, I can't see you guys. There we go. To just say a little appreciation, how much I appreciate Brother and Sister Hurst and the upbringing I had here at this church and the solid biblical teaching that Brother and Sister Hurst had instilled into my heart at a young age. And I was thinking about times, of course, you know, I grew up here, so I had a lot of little times here, a lot of big moments, a lot of little moments, you know, all my moments were here. But I was thinking of some of the big moments in my life, like I was remembering about me seeking for the Holy Ghost up here around these altars, and Brother Hurst is one of the voices that I specifically remember, you know, helping me to pray and to pray through to the Holy Ghost, and that's very special to me. And several other voices too. Sister Debbie Hoffman is another one of those voices that just stick out, and I remember her helping me pray. But I remember also me and Sister Trisha growing up together, and we would talk about the Bible and have questions, and a lot of our friends were kind of scared to go talk to Brother Hurst, but we weren't. We're like, let's just go ask the pastor. And so we'd just go straight to Brother Hurst, and he always had an answer for us and would help to instruct us and teach us the right way to go and to think about things. I'm so thankful that we had a pastor that we could approach and go to, and he didn't just blow us off as little teenagers, you know, or whatever. And I'm so thankful for that. And also, a time in my life where I was really, not really questioning the way we believe, but another belief was really in my face. And I went straight to my pastor, and he spent a lot of time helping me work through, and not just pushing off my questions, but giving me good answers and good thoughts to think about, and really helped me solidify my faith and in our doctrine. And I'm so thankful to have grown up under Brother Hurst. It's truly a privilege and an honor. And I will tell you, and I'm sure a lot of people have said this, and you probably know this, but having traveled across a lot of the states, from coast to coast, pretty much up and down, maybe not all the way out west, but every single person that we've ever, who'd you grow up under, Brother Clifford Hurst? Oh, he's a good man. Brother Hurst has a good name all over the country, and I'm so thankful for that. So thankful and so proud that I could say I grew up under him, you know. I'm just really, really thankful, and I feel very, very blessed to have grown up here underneath Brother Hurst. So I just wanted to make that clear tonight, that I am where I am today. Maybe that's not a good thing to say, but I am all that I, not that I'm anything, but all that I could be. Everything, well, I'm so thankful for them. Been a very, very good influence in my life, and I'm very thankful. A lot of people don't have that. Had this song on my heart for the service tonight, and I've sung it here before. You guys probably know it. It's kind of slow, so try not to fall asleep. Just pay attention to the words. But it says, the potter knows the clay, and I'm so thankful that the Lord is mindful. We might feel like we're going through something unbearable, but the Lord cares, and he knows where we are. He hasn't forgot about us, and he knows that we can make it. And I'm so thankful for the Lord. I know you're going through the fire, and it's hard to stand the heat, but even harder is your wondering, is God's hand still? The potter knows the clay, how much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel, still in submission to He's planned a beautiful
House, come on, just take a minute and praise Him. Just take a minute and bless His name. Just take a minute and thank God for His divine goodness. What a mighty God that we serve in this house. What a God that cares. What a God that knows. Friend, there's nothing that goes by His eye unseen. The Lord knows exactly where you are tonight, and He cares about every need that's inside of this house. Can you say amen? You may be seated in the house of the Lord tonight. If you have your Bibles, I know that you do, please turn with me to the book of Judges this evening, chapter number 6, verse number 11. Judges chapter number 6 and verse number 11. Hallelujah to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm glad that God cares. I'm glad that God cares. I'm glad that He's a rock. I'm glad that He's my shield. I'm glad that He's the bread of life. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." He didn't say, "Thy word is true." He said, "Thy word is truth." If something is true, it would point toward truth. But friend, this book doesn't point toward anything. It is truth. And I'm glad for the truth of God's word. I'm glad that I found Him. I'm glad that He found me. Judges tonight, chapter number 6, verse number 11. When you get there, would you say amen? And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And the son of Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Gideon said unto him, "O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Have not I sent thee? Friend, I want to speak to us for just a few moments tonight, simply on this thought, who God looks for in times like these. Who God looks for in times like these. You going to help me preach tonight? All right, I heard you. I'm going to hold you to it. Let's slip up our hands to heaven and ask God to have his way. Father, we thank you. Come on, church, help me pray. Father, we thank you. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. God, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation, you still want to pour out your divine spirit, and you still want to move by your spirit. God, in the midst, God, of a nation that would forsake their God, Lord, there are people that have not forsaken the Lord, and you still want to bless their hearts and touch their hearts today. I ask you, God, to anoint us, anoint every word spoken, said, and done. I pray, meet us around these altars tonight. And for this, we give God the glory and the honor and the praise in the lovely name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Would you shake three or four people's hands before you're seated? Open your mouth and tell them, I'm glad to see you tonight in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord God. Friend, I realize that you and I are living in the end of an age, or we're living in a day where I believe we're seeing exactly what Isaiah saw when he said they would call good evil and evil good. We are there. It's not something that's coming. It's not something that's 100 years down the road. It's not something that a few more elections we may want to be concerned about. It's facing us in the eyes. It's staring at us every day. And friend, we have reached a place even in the United States where he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. P-R-E-Y, prey. Friend, hear me. We are there today, and it can seem almost to the place where we want to say, God, there's nothing we can do. The foundations have been destroyed. There's no place we can go. About all we can do is just cross our fingers and hold on to the end. That's not the biblical approach that God wants to give us in these last days. He still wants men and women that are strong. He still wants men and women that are looking to him. He still wants men and women baptized in the Holy Ghost. Souls that are hungry. Souls that are thirsty. God is still looking for a church he can work through in these last days. Can you say amen? I know it's an attitude. I know it's a mindset. I know it's a cultural bend that says anything goes, brother Estes. And the days of men and living right and holy are all behind us. I beg to differ. Friend, God is going to have a people. God is going to have a remnant. The Lord is going to have souls. And I want to be a part of that, don't you? I know. You say, well, Brother Estes, it's getting so bad out there. It is getting bad out there. I spoke to a man just a few weeks ago. He said, Brother Estes, he said, I work with a man. He's a drug dealer. He's a known drug dealer. It's an open fact that he's a drug dealer. But the man calls himself a born-again Christian. The man asked him. He said, I walked up to him one day and I asked him, I said, how can you call yourself a Christian? We're an open drug dealer. I'm not exaggerating. This was his response. The man looked at him and said, listen, I ain't never done nobody wrong on no deals. I mean, that's all it takes. Say amen. That's where we are today. I said, that's where we are today. All you got to do is go to a church. All you got to do is put a dime in the offering, and you must be born again. It takes more than that. It takes a coming out from among the world. It takes a repenting of your sin. It takes a born again experience. Can somebody say amen? I read of an account a little while back where a man was shot while robbing a store and turned around and sued the store owner for a violation of his civil rights. Dear mercy, what's wrong with this nation?
I'm telling you what, people show me these things and all it does is get my blood boiling, huh? I'd seen a sandwich board. I'm not there again. You think you're making this stuff up. I'd seen a sandwich board and the sign literally read, "No mother should have to worry for her son's life when he's robbing a store." That's what he's protesting. Friend, that's where we are. I said, that's where we are. But we need men and women that will look in the world just like this, in a day just like this, where things are backwards and things are upside down, and say, God, just like the psalmist said, it is time for thee to work, for they have made thy law, they have made void thy law. It's time for God to work in days just like this, because God loves to work. In days when it's dark, God loves to work. In days when things are backwards, God loves to work. When the devil seems to have it all. I know we say, well, you know, if only God would have done something back in the 1980s. If only God would have done something back in the 1960s. If only God. And some of you are going to tell your age how far you can go back with it, huh? Friend, hear me. That has nothing to do with it. I want to remind you, it was in the bleak days of Catholicism that God raised up a man by the name of Martin Luther, and a reformation was begun. There wasn't a revival that was going on. There wasn't a church that was thriving. It was one man that was hungry for a move of God. And the days were... the liberty of God became a license to sin. And all of a sudden there was such lasciviousness throughout the land. God began to raise up men like John Wesley, like Charles Wesley. There was no revival going on. There was only somebody who was hungry for God to move in dark days just like this. There was only somebody who was thirsty for God to have his way in times just like this. So before you write it off, before you say we're done with, before you say our best days are behind us, I want to bring you back to the Bible and say in days just like this, the Lord comes to come down. Here we read in the Word of God tonight, the Midianites, an evil, wicked society, had infiltrated Israel and began to put them in bondage and afflict them in certain areas and ways. And the Bible speaks about a man by the name of Gideon. Here he's of the tribe of Manasseh. And the Bible says in verse number 12, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." I want you to notice it didn't say, "Thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with thee." It said, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man." What does it take for a man to have valor? God has to be with him. But if the Lord's with him, he can do what God's asking him to do. If the Lord is with him, he can have that victory. He didn't say, "Oh, mighty man of valor, look how great you are. Look at the degrees that you've earned. Look at the places that you've went. God surely has to be with you." He looks at a man who's trying to make a work, and he's hiding in a wine press. And the Lord and the angel says, "God is with you. And now, because the Lord is with you, you are a mighty man of valor." He turns and looks and sees what God has for him. And if God's going to use you in these last days, church, friend, there has to come a place in your heart and mind where you get over this mentality of our best days are behind us and our only hope with revival ended about 2 or 3 years ago. And we better come back and say, "It's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord." Hallelujah. Organization is not going to bring revival. Friend, mere men and charisma doesn't bring revival. But God in His Word will still bring revival when we're thirsty for Him. What did he do, Brother Richmond? He turned his eyes off of that world and looked to see what that angel of God said. That angel of God represents God himself. And friend, if he's going to touch God, he's got to get his eyes off the Midianites and put it back on the Lord. Who does God use in days just like this? God uses men and women of vision to turn their eyes off of the world and put their eyes back on God. If you read any major headline news today, all you're going to read about is war, death, destruction, sorrow, sadness. The further they can push it, the more they know they can capture you. You ever thought about this? Now, they get paid for advertising, and the advertiser wants you to watch or listen or read. And so the only way to do that is to say something shocking that's going to make sure that you read or watch or put your mind and heart into it. And friend, hear me, you've only got so much energy to go around, and you can pour your heart into something that really doesn't amount to a hill of beans. And Satan knows if I can just keep their mind occupied on things like that, then they'll never look to me. That's all they got to do. Is just keep pumping out stories that are just as silly and fruit loopy as they can be. I'd seen that headline a little while back. I won't even say it because we got children in this audience and good night knows. But there's evidently a new group of people that feel like they've been a little born too blessed. And so they've got a sick psychological problem and they want to have a disability. They'll go out of their way to make them own self disabled. Dear Lord, friend, hear me. I know that kind of twisted stuff is out there, but that's not what you need to fill your mind with. That's not what you need to fill your heart with. Fill your heart with the words of God. Fill your heart with the things of God. Keep focused on the Lord. He knows. He says if he's ever going to be used by me, Zach, he's got to get his eyes off this world and get focused again on God. Get focused again on God. Friend, I can assure you, if you picked up a copy of the Heavenly Jerusalem Times this morning, front page up there in heaven, it's about crooked politicians. It's about people getting saved. Say amen. I mean, front page news is not about some more thing that's going on around you. Front page news is about not who's hiring and who's firing. It's about what God is doing through his people. Give us souls again and to turn their eyes to the Lord and say, God, let me be somebody that stays focused on God in these last days. Said it before, I'll run it by us again. What you behold, you become. What you focus on, you will be conformed to. Let a man focus on God, he'll be conformed to God. Let a man focus on the world, he'll be conformed to that world. Always, always. I've said it before, I'll run it by us one more time. I touched down there in Sudan. I get off that little four-seater plane, and I'm in a little Jeep, and they're taking me to that base camp. And Brother Steve, while they're taking me to that base camp, I look and these ladies cross that road. And while they're crossing that road, they're buckling their neck like an old cow would. Every step they made, they didn't walk gracefully like a lady normally walks. They would just buckle that neck over and over again. And I looked at the brother beside me. I said, did you see that? He said, yeah, Brother Estes, I saw that. You know what that is? I said, I think I know what that is. I said, I'm not saying that they're Hindu. I'm not saying they're Hindu. But here's what I can tell you. Whatever they are, they worship cows in their religion. They have stared at that beast so long. They have studied that beast so long that they have taken on the characteristics of the beast that they have studied. Friend, hear me. If you study the things of this world, you'll take on its characteristics. You'll take on its ungodliness. You'll take on its violence. You'll take on its uncertainty. You'll take on its fear. You'll take on its unrighteousness. Why don't you turn your eyes back to the Savior? I heard Robbie Zacharias speaking one time, and he said his mom was sitting down. He said she was watching some movie, and he said, I walked in the room. He said mom was on the edge of the seat, and she was eating that popcorn, and she was a-shaking, and about that time she screamed out, don't open the door, don't do it! And he said, Mom, you know as good as I do, there's somebody 4 foot to her left saying, action, cut! And he said, then it dawned on me, of course, there's always a spirit behind the screen. And you always enter into it, whether you want to or not. Come on here, friend. I mean, It went from Harry Potter, and then it went over to the Twilight, and then when that got old, went over what's I guess it's the Hunger Game thing now, and there'll be that'll get old, and there'll be another one, and we got young people that says, well, I can read that kind of stuff, and I can read about werewolves and Draculas, and it don't bother me a bit. There's no way you can read that garbage and it not start polluting your mind. Young person, you need to purge your closet of all that kind of garbage and paraphernalia and say, Lord, let my mind be holy. Let my mind be holy. Let my soul be holy. Let my thoughts be holy. Turn your eyes to this world. You'll live in fear. Turn your eyes back to God and He'll give you vision. Church, if God's going to move on us in these last days, we've got to turn our eyes back to Him and say, God, you can't. Oh, God. Brother Estes, what about somebody that backslid? What about somebody that front slid? I don't know if that's a word or not, but I'm using it. You know what I'm saying? What about that person that got cold? What about that person that didn't get cold? What about that person that's been coming to this church for 25, 35, 45 years, and they're still got a touch of God on their life, and they're still faithful to the house? I'm telling somebody, get your eyes off the naysayer. Get your eyes off the gossiper. Get your eyes off somebody that's cold heart, and get your eyes back on what God is doing and how God is blessing and how God is saving. Can you say amen? Give us hearts again, oh God. Let us say, Lord, put my eyes back on God. Who does God use in days like this? People of vision. People of valor. Verse 2, look at it please. In Judges 7:2. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give to the Midianites into their hands. Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned to the people 22,000. And there remained 10,000. Friend, if God's going to use you in these last days, He's got to have somebody of vision. He's got to have somebody of valor, bravery, that'll stand and say, as for me, as for my house, we're going to serve God. We're going to serve God. Friend, hear me. You can complain. You can say, well, she should have done it. She shouldn't have done it. But beloved, I'm not here to get in that debate with you. But anytime we have a government that can throw people behind bars because they don't want to unite a man and a man, something's wrong with the logic of a country that says that's legal and that is sane. Dear Mercy didn't fire her, just throw her behind bars. Friend, they'll do that to you and me next. That was a pushing of the test. How far can they go? How much can they take? Friend, hear me. It is a society that is anti-Christian. Say amen. I'm not saying you got to agree with everything she's done or do or what her theology is. That's not what I'm getting into. All I'm saying is anytime there's a government that can incarcerate men and women, dear mercy, God help us. We need souls again that'll make up their mind beforehand. Honey, what's going to happen if they ever come in and shut those doors inside of this church? What are we going to do? We've done made up our mind. We're going to keep on serving God. We're going to keep on following God. We're going to keep on walking with God no matter what comes. Gideon, there's folks among you, he says. They're fearful. They're afraid. And they won't stand in the time of trial. 32,000 folks. Whoa! Man, that's a pretty Sunday morning crowd. Amen. And here's old Gideon. Gideon gets up there. And man, they're singing, you know. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And Gideon smiling. And about that time, they get up to read the Sunday school report. And say, here's the Sunday school report. Preschool, 4,000. College and career, 8,000. Trailblazers, 15, whatever it is. Total attendance Sunday morning, 32,000. Total Sunday school offering, $8.47. Hello. Come on here. Amen. I don't know how that works. I'm telling you what. And Mr. Gideon gets up. He says, good to have you here this Sunday morning. Saturday morning. Excuse me, Old Testament. Bible theologians, you caught that. Good to have you here on the Sabbath. And we want to appreciate everybody coming out. And I just want to preach to you this morning. The title of my message is this. If you're a lily-livered sissy pants, get out! And 22,000 folks get in their little chariots and squeal out of the parking lot and leave. folks go down the road. 22,000 folks start their own little church. 22,000 folks start their own little God. 22,000 folks that don't want anything pressured on their life, that want to live exactly how they want to live and never have God's word come and cut them or come and talk to how they live. Honey, it don't work like that. This book's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. I know there's an easy believism today that says you can live like you want to, act like you want to, do what you want to, and still make it to heaven. But God's word says that he still's going to have men and women that are pure and holy and white. God's word still lets us know that there's a group that's called out, the ecclesia, the called out ones, and that's who he's coming back after. When it all boils down to it, I mean, when you clear the air of everything, here's what it really boils down to. They were fearful and afraid. I mean, so long as trouble is happening in another state, we don't mind going, rah, rah, ree. Yeah, that's it. Give it to them. But what about if it's in your back door? I mean, honestly, have you thought this through yet? Have you honestly thought this through yet? You know, we were coming home the other day, and I told Erica, I said, you know, it's time. Our girl's getting old enough. We need to have a plan, a fire escape plan. If something's to happen, where are you kids going to go? Where are you going to run to? There's a fire extinguisher right out of the house to the left. And we tell them girls, now if you can't get out this door, what's the other door you go to? Well, Dad, there's a door over here. Okay, what's another door you can go to? Well, Dad, there's a door over here. And all I'm doing, I'm going through a plan just in case there is an emergency. So they already know what to do. We need to go ahead and have it settled and sit down and say, now listen, if they come against us, what do we realize? Are we going to hold on to God? Are we going to try to live by the sword and die by the sword? Are we just going to say, blessed be the name of the Lord? God is in control. Are we going to hold on to God no matter what happens? Well, Brother Zane, don't you know, Jesus can come back at any moment. That means we're not going to have any problems. Jesus could come back at any moment. That doesn't mean we're not going to have any problems. We almost crossed these two to think just because we believe in an imminent return that there'll never be any trials that hit us of the red, white, and blue. Talk to China about that. Talk to Ukraine about that. Talked about some of my dear friends over there in Transcarpathia. Talked about some of them over there in Eastern Europe. Talked to them about what happened whenever they had a country that, sure enough, things come over. And atheism took root inside of that land. I'm not saying that'll necessarily happen here. But I can assure you, if you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. We need souls that have a made-up mind and to say, God, no matter what comes, I'm going to stay right with God. You know, fear is an amazing thing. You still with me tonight? Fear is an amazing thing. Sometimes we look at the big stuff and we're ready for the big stuff. But sometimes it's the small stuff that Satan can get you quaking in your boots over. Isn't it amazing? Whenever we ask, okay, who's gonna pray before the choir sings next Sunday? Who's going to pray? Who's going to do that next Sunday? Everybody goes. And all of a sudden, this just like nauseated. Oh, please, no. Who's going to testify before the choir? Who's up to do that? You know what there should be? Help me, brother. Raise your hand. Pick me. No. Thank you. I can't appreciate that. You know what it normally is? It's people with their hands in their pocket like they got cement inside of there and just blocks hanging from their arms. Friend, why? Because there's a fear that comes off. What if I mispronounce a word? Well, join the club. It happens. Hallelujah. Well, what if it doesn't come out right? Well, join the club. That happens too. But if you're going to let fear keep you from that, you will never testify. You will never sing. You will never come on here. We need souls again. And I say, God, break that spirit of fear and give me the boldness and give me the help to do your will. Some of you young people, you could sing, but you won't. You know why you won't? Fear. Some of you adults, you could testify, but you won't testify. You know why you won't? Fear, fear. And God says, I can't use somebody like that. I can't use somebody like that. Fear suits you for failure. Faith suits you for victory. Say amen. Fear, come on. Fear automatically puts a suit on you and says, I guess I'm going to bomb. Faith automatically says, God, I don't know how this is going to come out, but it's burning on the inside and I feel like magnifying the Lord. Somebody slip up your hand to heaven and thank the Lord for that. God can give you the help and God can give you the wisdom and boldness to proclaim His word. Why didn't you do something? Well, I was afraid. Gideon, God wants to use them, but God cannot use them if they're full of fear. Who does God use in these last days? He uses men of vision. He uses men of valor. He uses men of vigilance. Carefulness, watchfulness. Verse number 4, Jude 7. The Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that for whosoever I say unto thee, this shalt thou go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, thou shalt not go with thee, the same shall not go with thee. So he brought down the people into the water. And the Lord said unto him, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth him, shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth upon his knee to drink. And the number of them that lapped with putting their hands in their mouth were 300. But the rest of the people bowed down and put their knees to the drink water. Get the picture. Here you got 10,000 folks left. And there's Midianites. Hey, shh. There's Midianites right over that hill. There's Midianites right over there. And 300, brethren, or 300 get down, scoop up that water, and keep a close eye on that enemy. 9,700 put their knees on the ground, their snout in the water, and drink face down. Don't you know if you're a Midianite, you'd say, come here! Come here! They don't really have a clue how close we are to them. They don't really have a clue how dangerous we can be to their lives. Now, God won't use the coward. God cannot use the careless. God says, if I'm going to use you in these last days, you got to realize there's traps out there. You got to be wise. There's traps out there. You got to be wise. There's lures out there, you got to be wise. There's pits out there, you've got to be wise. There's evil spirits seeking whom they can devour. You have got to be wise. And I told this to a group of young people before, and I will say it here again. The more gray areas you have in your life, the more likely you are to sin. The more things that are gray, well, it could be. All I'm saying, the more gray, the more likely you are to fall into sin. There's things It may not be necessarily wrong, but you don't want to get close to it because it may lead to something wrong. Say amen. Well, Brother Estes, that's fanatical. No, that's prudence, friend. That's wisdom that says, I'm not going to go down that road because that road may lead to that road that may lead to that road. And friends, people that just go down any road, you come back to them 20 years later and they're 1,000 miles off a straight and narrow because they never forethought, where's this going to lead to? He said, no, I'm not going to go down that road. It may just lead to something. Oh, by the way, young person, let me just give you a little touch of wisdom right here. I found one sin in the Bible you're not told to fight. One sin you're not told to fight at all. There's a sin the Bible says you're to flee. Flee fornication. Don't get close to it and say, well, I'm tough enough to withstand it. Don't play games with it and say, I can get out before I get burned. Here's the best thing to do. Just run like a scalded dog from it. Just stay 1,000 miles away. See how far you can get away from it and stay away. Don't you say, well, let me just see if I can. No, ma'am, no, sir. Flee from fornication. You're not told to fight that. You're told to flee that. Wisdom says you don't play games with it. Wisdom says you don't run and come back and see if you can play catch. Wisdom says you run. Friend, if path A and path B lead you to the same place, and every day path A has a bit of temptation and path B does not. Now what's wisdom tell you to do? Wisdom says don't get close to that. Don't put yourself in a position that's going to make you fall. Who does God use in these last... Give me a couple more minutes and I'll close. Who does God use in these last days? Men with valor. Men with vision. Men with vigilance. They didn't know. It was a test. Hey, most of the time when God's really testing you, you have no clue. You have no clue. I read where Henry Ford, whenever he was going to hire a new top executive, here's what he would do. Brother Brad, he would sit down and have dinner with that man, and he would ask him a long list of questions. But here's the deal. The questions didn't matter a bit. Care less about the question. There was one thing he watched for. Did the man salt his food before he tasted his food? And the whole time, if Mr. Ford is interviewing that man, and they sit down to eat, and that man just goes to salting that food, that Mr. Ford leans back in his chair and says, it's over. This man is not a thinking man. He's never even tasted the food before he salted it. I'll have nothing to do with him. Who would have known something so simple could have been such a test? Church, most of the tests God brings to our lives, we never look back and say, this is a test. This is only a test. He that's faithful in little is faithful in much. I'm trying to close. And it come to pass the same night, the Lord said unto him, arise, verse 9, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered into thy hand. But if thou fear to go down, go down with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards thou shalt... Afterwards shall thine hand be strengthened to go down into the host. So he went down with Phurah his servant to the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And Midian and the Amalekites and the children of the east lay along like valleys in the valley like grasshoppers for a multitude. And their camels were without number. And Gideon was come. Behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of the Midians and came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it and that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian, all the host. Get the picture. Hope I didn't lose you. The Lord says, Gideon, I want you to go down by their tent tomorrow night. If you need to, take your servant Phurah with you. So here's what they do. They go down there, Brother Steve. They kind of come up. Push back some of that marsh, no doubt. Those guys, they're roasting their marshmallows and hot dogs, whatever it is. One guy looks at another, he says, "Hey, man, I had a dream the other night." I says, what'd you dream about?" "You don't want to know. You don't want to know. Now tell me, what'd you dream about?" I had a dream. I saw this big old loaf of barley bread come tumbling down this hillside, crashed through every one of our tents. Scariest thing I ever felt in my life." The guy looks back at him, he says, You dreamed what?" Yeah. "You know what that is, don't you? That's Gideon. Hey, get over here, guys. Come here. You over there, come here. Listen to what this guy dreamed. Come over here. You listen. Hey, spread it around camp. Listen to what the guy dreamed." And before you know it, every one of them's quaking in their boots, shaking to death, saying, "Oh my goodness, did you?" Let me tell you something, friend. I don't know how God does it, but when God finds the man, the answer has a way of coming. We're looking for an answer. God's looking for a man. I'm telling you, if the man would just look to Jesus, Jesus could find the man, and then the answer would come. Say amen. We need to come back and say, "Lord, I lay myself at your feet. You have the answer." You got to understand something. Barley bread was a real rough bread. It's a bread they fed their animals. If times got really tough, they'd feed their slaves with it. And what he's basically saying to Gideon's this: "Gideon, you're not worth much. In fact, you're just about like a piece of barley bread. All right? No glamour, no glitz, no glory. But in my hand, I can use you. In times just like these, ordinary people that have ordinary lives, that have ordinary problems, that live in ordinary circumstances, in the hands of God, God uses them." God, did you hear me, church? God uses them. Why is it that for the most part, why is it, I don't know, is it just subconsciously, why is it that we always kind of just live up to that little label that we put on ourselves? Why is that? There's a boy back at my home church, and for years he's been a social mute. His grandparents have never heard him say a word. He come up with me one time to my mother-in-law's. We was picking up some stuff. She's precious. She kept saying, "Well, what's your name? How are you doing? You don't say much, do you?" And I kept going, Mom. Yeah. About that time, "Zane, is that him?" "Yeah." Now, he can talk. But for so long, he's been, quote, the kid that doesn't say anything. Now, Brother Brad, guess what role he plays? He plays the role of the kid that doesn't say anything. And he'd almost lose his identity if he started saying something. And he plays to that role. Have you ever seen, help me, Holy Ghost. You ever seen one person in the youth group kind of get this role of kind of the sassy mouth one? Come on. What they start doing, they start playing to that role of, "I've got to be the one with a sharp return every time." I looked at him one day, and he's a dear friend of mine, and God's done a miraculous work in his life. And I said, "You know what?" I said, "I dreamed the other night that you and I were walking down the road." And I said, "Dakota, it was a beautiful place. I don't know where we were, but it was so beautiful." And I said, "You were talking to me, and I was talking to you. And I just want to let you know, when you do start talking to me, because you will, I promise you this, I'll never spaz out. I'll never clap. I'll just take it just like you've been talking to me for 20 years, because we're going to get out of this, okay? I'll never forget. It was a few months later, but I get in that truck with him, and we'd always just have to text back and forth. That's how we communicated. I got in that truck with him. I never expected anything. I just thought, well, here'll be another two-hour trip where he never says a word, and I just have to text. I sit down. About that time, he looks over at me, and he says, I had to work till 4 today. I didn't think I'd get off in time. And we just start a normal conversation. All I can tell you is God can break you out of that. The Lord can shake you out of that. And for that label that says, I've never been one that really got in and worshiped, God can break you out of that. And the Lord can deliver you out of that. And God can set you free. Can you give the Lord praise? Gideon's got that label. God, we're the least. We're a small tribe, God. And I got a teeny family. And I'm the runt of the litter, God. And I can't do this for the Lord. And here's the amazing thought. The Lord says there in Judges 6:34, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. There's the difference. There's the difference. When the Spirit of the Lord comes, it has a way of taking that label and just taking it right off of there and say, let me put something new on you. You never were a shouter before. I'm about to turn some things around. You never were a weeper before. I'm about to turn some things around. You never was an interceder before, but you're going to intercede now. You're going to press in and pray. I'll tell you, the baptism of the Holy Ghost will give you the strength that you need. I've said this before, I'll say this again, just feel like saying it every now and again, you just need to say it. Brother Carr, you see this jacket right here? This one right up here. See that jacket? It's no ordinary jacket, son. I'm telling you, that thing is bad to the bone. You hear me? Hey, young people, this one. But it's no ordinary jacket, son. Let me show you what this thing can do. Hold on. See if I can do this, okay? It's kind of hard.
Jacket! Stand up straight! Hold on. Jacket! Lift your arms! Jacket,
stand up straight. Did you see that? Did you see what that jacket just did? Jacket, lift your arms. That? Did you see what that jacket just said? You say, now, Brother Estes, that's not the jacket. That's you inside of the jacket. That's exactly what I'm saying to you. It's not you. It's God inside. It's God inside of you. He's the one that gives you strength. He's the one that gives you power. He's the one that gives you help. He's the one that gives you the anointing. He's the one that touches you. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. Anything I need this jacket to do, I can do it through it. I'm not asking this jacket to do anything I can't do, and God's not asking you to do anything He cannot do. Whatever I need this jacket to do, son. This jacket's amazing. Friend, hear me. Whatever God's asking you to do on your own, just like this jacket, you're dead. There's no strength. There's no help. But you let God feel you. You let God feel you. You let God touch you. And He has a way of making all things new and getting rid of yesterday's labels. And putting something new in your heart. Sister Estes, help me here tonight, please. I'm telling you, God wants to touch us, Brother Maggard. And we've got to get rid of this mentality. The I can't. I never will. Well, what if I mess up? What if it doesn't work out like I wanted it to? Oh. You've obviously never taught kids when it comes to a Christmas program. It never works out quite like you want it to. But you keep on doing it. You keep on pouring into them. And you know what? As far as I know, I don't think we've ever had a Sunday school teacher yet just throw down the program and say, this didn't work out like I thought it would. I quit. Don't start in 2015. Say amen. You just keep on. You keep on. And before you know it, them babies start growing up. And before you know it, God blesses your church with a youth pastor that come right out of it. And not just a youth pastor here, but a youth pastor at such another young men and women across this land and across this nation. All I'm telling somebody is God can use ordinary people in ordinary times and ordinary hardships if they would just let God be God through them. You can start anytime you like. The Lord speaks to him, and you know the story. With a handful of people, they take a trumpet in one hand. They take a light and put it inside of that pitcher and lift up that pitcher. I don't have time to get into all this and preach all this, but that trumpet represents boldness. They break that pitcher. That pitcher represents brokenness. They lift up that light. It represents brightness. And Brother Maggard, if God can just find somebody who's bold, broken, and bright in him, I'm telling you, no telling what God can do through him. No telling what God can do through him. No telling how God can touch him. No telling how God can stir upon him. Well, friend, there's no official ministry for what I feel like God's wanting me to do. Let me tell you, if you're bold, bright, and broken for God, God will make a way for you. God has a way of opening doors for you. Revelation says he opens a door no man can shut. He shuts a door no man can open. If God could just find a people again, I'd say, Lord, in times just like this, anoint me. Anoint me, God. Use me, God. In times just like this, use me, God, that your will would go forward. And once again, we might find freedom in this land. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, our hearts are open tonight. Some of you have been wanting to do something for God, but you've been held back by fear. Tonight, God wants to set you free and touch you. If that's you, I want you to slip up your hand and say, that's me, Brother Estes. I want God to touch me tonight. Slip up your hand quickly. Thank you. Thank you. There are hands all over this house. Thank you. God bless you. Young persons to elderly people, can I tell you, there's no difference in age. There's men, there's women alike. God wants to touch you tonight. God wants to help you tonight. Brother Estes, I tried before and things didn't work out like I wanted to. What should I do? You should give it everything you have with everything you've got left. You should try it again. You should get up with all you've got and say, God, I want to work for you. It may not be in the same capacity it was yesterday or the day before, but whatever capacity it could be, oh God, let me do it. Oh God, let me do it. God, let me have wisdom. Let me be wise. Fill me with sagacity. God, fill me with prudence that I would not fall into the snares of the wicked one. That I would not be sidetracked or sidelined by besetting sins. But God, make me holy. And God, clothe me. Clothe me. Clothe me. How many in this house can truly say, Brother Estes, I want God to cover me, to clothe me, to baptize me, to fill me, that I might do His divine will. Hands are going up again. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. You raise your hand for whatever reason. You raise your hand for whatever purpose. I want you to begin to slip up from where you're sitting this evening. I want you to come around these altars. I want you to find a place to pray in this house tonight. I want you to ask God to do that again in your own soul. God, use me again. And I know, God, apart from you, I'm only a piece of barley bread. But through you, I can do all things. Come on, can we slip up from where we're sitting tonight? All from the back to the front, let's find ourselves an altar to pray, church. Do this, Jesus.
true.